Pertenecí al grupo FARC.
I was a member of the FARC group. I demobilized. Now I don't want to hurt anyone. I had a daughter and I want to recover her.
Uno no puede estar en el monte.
You can't be in the field with children. They are the ones who suffer most.
Desde el momento en que supe que estaba embarazada.
Since I found out I was pregnant, I started to fight for my daughter's life. Because if they, the commanders, had found out, they would have forced me to get rid of her. And for me, that's murder. I've been fighting for her ever since.
3 former guerrilla members of the main rebel groups of Colombia. Throughout this program, their words have been voiced by actors to protect their identities. I'm Margarita Rodriguez, and I have come to the country where I was born for Colombia's lost children on the BBC World Service. After decades of fighting, I want to explore a side of the Colombian armed conflict that sometimes goes unnoticed. What happens when a guerrilla member gives birth? I'm looking for very human stories, not just as a reporter, but also as a woman expecting her fair child.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Medellin. We have landed on a schedule and the local time is 7:50 news a.m.
I'm in Medellin, the second largest city in Colombia and one of the country's economic centers. This very vibrant region in the west of the country is famous for many reasons, some of them notorious. It was home of the late drug lord Pablo Escobar, but it's also home to one of the greatest Latin American artists, the painter Fernando Botero. In fact, I'm now in Plaza Botero, Botero Square, between two giant black sculptures, one woman and one man, who are facing each other and are totally naked. Like all the sculptures here, they are really massive. Oh well, to be perfectly blunt, they are fat. But I'm not here to appreciate the art of Botero. I'm here because I'm waiting for Maria. I'm not sure what to expect from a woman who was recruited by Colombia's main left-wing guerrilla group. I have only talked to her over the phone and exchanged a few emails. I don't know what she looks like. I know that she is in her 20s and that she speaks very softly and politely. Like other people in this program, she asked me not to mention her real name. So I will call her Maria. Maria doesn't live in Medellin, but she preferred to meet here, far from her home. She told me that she would come with the baby that she had after demobilizing. She was not what I expected from an ex-guerrilla member. She looked really young, petite, and feminine. Hi, nice to meet you. Thank you so much for coming.
Siempre a la orden.
We are heading towards a private place where we can talk about her experience. There are thousands of yellow caps in Medellin, and we are in one of them now. Maria and her baby are next to me. She looks relaxed, but at the same time, she looks fragile. Maria has big brown eyes, and when she looks at me, she smiles. She doesn't talk, she's shy. Once in the private place, Maria started telling me her story very slowly, very cautiously. My first question was, of course, how did she end up fighting with the FARC?
Trabajaba en el campo, y ellos llegaron ahí, y me
I was working the land when they came, and they invited me to be part of their group. I wasn't in a very good situation, and for that reason, I accepted. I ended up there.
How old were you?
13 años, una niña prácticamente.
I was 13, a child really. I don't know who my dad is. My mom never raised me. I was raised by my uncles. I believe that my mom never noticed that I had gone.
She clarified to me that she was just another guerrilla soldier, but there was something else.
La obligación de hacer cosas que uno no quería.
The obligation to do things one did not want to do because of fear of punishment. Often, when a commander likes a woman, she's forced to be with him. She's not forced physically. There are many ways to subdue people, to make them do things they don't want to do. That was my case on many occasions. That is a humiliation, the worst that a woman can experience. It is very sad, very hard.
She carried weapons because she had to be prepared for anything, but she didn't take part in battles. The Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, FARC, have been fighting against the Colombian government for more than 50 years. It's a war that has left around 220,000 dead and more than 5 million displaced. The European Union, United States, and the Colombian government describe the FARC as a terrorist organization with links with the drug trafficking business. The FARC describe themselves as a national liberation movement, which seeks to give power to the Colombian poor to create an equal society. But quite apart from the atrocities of the armed clashes, they have been responsible for other human rights violations, such as child recruitment. And that is Maria's story. At the age of 17, she got pregnant following a relationship with a fellow combatant. In the FARC, pregnancy is forbidden for many low-rank soldiers because some commanders think being a professional revolutionary and a mother are incompatible. Many women inside the organization are forced to have abortions. Contraception is compulsory, and as a woman fighter, it's your responsibility to avoid getting pregnant. For many commanders, in a war in the middle of the jungle, a baby is simply a hindrance.
And when did you realize that you are pregnant? What did you feel?
Lo primero que pensé es que obviamente me tocaba.
The first thing I thought was that obviously I would have to have an abortion. I asked God not to let it happen. To be honest, I wanted to have her. I had this feeling of happiness when I found out I was expecting a baby. That was what motivated me to hide my pregnancy.
For how long did you hide the pregnancy?
Hasta los 7 meses, porque ya se...
Up to the 7th month, because by then it was already showing. Then I told them I was pregnant. They told me it was too risky to have an abortion because I could die, and they allowed me to give birth to the baby. There had been cases where a woman was forced to have an abortion in the 7th or 8th month when the mother runs the risk of dying. Many women had died like that.
She was allowed to spend 3 months with her baby, but then the inevitable happened.
Ese recuerdo siempre lo tengo presente en mi mente.
That memory is always in my mind. The commander told us we had to give her away, that we had no more time, that we had to get rid of her any way we could. We went past a woman's house. My partner had already spoken to her. That woman had grown fond of the baby, and the day to give her away had arrived. I gave the baby to him so that he could give her to the woman. I waited for him at a distance. I couldn't go there. I cried for 4 days. It was very difficult. Taking the baby and deserting was not an option.
After 8 years with the FARC, Maria decided to escape and demobilized. But she can't forget the daughter that she gave birth to while she was part of the group. She has been looking for her ever since. Her search has not been easy, especially because for the FARC, those who have demobilized are traitors. The rebels still have control over some areas of the country, especially in some rural villages. In fact, Maria believes that her daughter lives in one of those areas. That is why she can't go there.
Ha sido largo. Y sigo en la búsqueda.
It's been a long process, and I'm still looking for her. And I will carry on until I find her, or I realize there's no hope. But I still hope. I've spoken to the women who raised my daughter and who allegedly got her from a government agency, and I asked her to let me see her, spend some time with her. I promised I wouldn't try to take her away. And at the beginning, she said yes, but then she stopped answering my calls. She disappeared. But I'm still looking. I still hope one day I will get to know her.
You are listening to Colombia's Lost Children of the BBC World Service. Maria's story is not unique. Across Colombia, you can find many similar testimonies, especially now, as more and more members of the FARC are deserting, according to the authorities. Hundreds of them had been recruited by force or even abducted when they were only children. Official figures show that in 11 years, over 56,000 people have demobilized from different armed groups. Almost 7,000 of them are women. The Colombian government has launched an advertising campaign focused on women in armed groups to encourage them to demobilize.
Desmovilízate.
Demobilize, she says. In 2009, a woman, who I will call Teresa, but that is not her real name, decided to do just that, leave the FARC. Like Maria, she was recruited when she was underage, and like Maria, she wants to recover her daughter. Teresa got pregnant when she was 16. She told me that inside the FARC, the pregnancy of a low-ranked member is considered an insubordination and a crime. Once the commanders realized that she was pregnant, it was too late to force her to have an abortion. Teresa says that a few weeks after giving birth to a baby girl, her commanders forced her to sign a document to hand over her child to a family known to them.
Buenos días, señoras y señores.
As you can hear, I'm now on a plane. I'm traveling to Meta, a state in the center of Colombia, a region which is famous for its large green llanos or plains. I want to meet Teresa to find out more about her story. This is Villavicencio Airport. It's really warm here. The airport looks small and empty. Not far from here, deep in the plains, in the rural areas, the rebels and the army have been fighting each other for years. Teresa's story is a painful one. She told me that the FARC had killed her mother, the only person she had. After that, they forced her to become part of the group. One of the first things that Teresa told me was that the FARC had destroyed her youth. Later, she said that she had found her daughter with the same family that the group had chosen. She saw her for the last time 3 years ago. With a pile of documents in her hands, she explained to me that she was in the middle of a legal battle to try to convince the family who raised her daughter to share her with her.
Me han puesto muchos obstáculos.
They have put many obstacles in my way to stop me from seeing her.
Who?
Algunos funcionarios del Estado, como una personera que dice que
officials, like one representative who says I have no right to my daughter because what kind of example can I be to her with my subversive thinking? She says that because I was in the FARC, I have no right to have her. She says that I abandoned my daughter, but I never gave her away. After the people who raised my daughter realized I wanted her back, they initiated legal proceedings to adopt her. But I have my daughter registered under my two surnames. Legally, she will always be my daughter.
Now Teresa begs for help.
He ido a la fiscalía.
I have been to the public prosecutor's office, the attorney's office, family welfare, and the ombudsman. I will keep knocking on as many doors as is necessary.
De corazón les pido que se pongan.
From the bottom of my heart, I beg you to put yourselves in my place. I did not give up my daughter. They took her from me. I was 16 years old. They forced me to. How would I confront the FARC all by myself to prevent them from taking my daughter, if not even a whole army is able to? Help me.
The second time that Teresa got pregnant, she was forced to have an abortion when she was 8 months. In addition to the traumatic experience, Teresa was punished just for getting pregnant for a second time. The testimonies of Maria and Teresa have been very touching. I wonder what the government is doing about cases like theirs. I have come to Bogotá, the Colombian capital. I have an appointment with the Colombian Vice Minister of Defense, Jorge Bedoya. Good morning, Vice Minister. How are you?
Margarita, welcome to Colombia, to my office.
Many of these children have ended up in the hands of families which have been forced to raise them or who have accepted voluntarily to do it. How can you reunite those children with their biological mothers?
That is a real challenge because the information that is out on the field is not enough. But our intelligence agencies, the intel and the information that we get from former members of the FARC and the ELN, the information that we have on the little towns where we suspect that they have children moved out of the encampments of the terrorist group is helpful. But as I said, it's a real challenge because not always we succeed in finding those children and making them closer to their biological parents, or at least their biological mother.
Why not?
Well, because it's difficult to find them.
Some demobilized women have said that the authorities are not helping them to search and find their children. Is that not a priority for you, for the government?
The priority is for all of the members of FARC that would like to demobilize. And we understand that in the case of women who have children or who left their child because of they were forced by the FARC leadership to do this, our commitment is to find them. It's difficult, as I said, but that is the role of the government. And maybe we have many things to improve, but the commitment is there and the agencies are working on that very hard.
Although Maria and Teresa's cases may appear very complicated, there is one other story that I want to tell you that gives them some hope. I'm on my way to meet a woman that I will call Carmen to protect her identity. She was with the FARC for more than 20 years. She demobilized in 2008 and started looking for her son that she gave birth to when she was with the FARC. 24 years after having her baby, Carmen was finally reunited with him in 2010. I'm meeting Carmen today, and tomorrow we will pick her son up from the airport. For 15 years, Carmen was one of the nurses of the FARC. She told me that when she got pregnant for the first time, pregnancies were allowed in the organization, but keeping the baby in the jungle was impossible. After giving birth, the commanders allowed her to be with the baby for just 40 days. That is why Carmen and her partner, also a FARC member, decided to give her baby boy to a family they knew in a nearby village. She was able to visit him every 3 to 5 months until he was 3 years old. After that, due to advances of the Colombian army, Carmen was transferred to a different area and lost contact with that family. So, how did she find her son after so many years?
One member of the program for demobilized guerrilla members took me to the army radio station, Colombia Stereo, and there they allowed me to broadcast a message directed to that area where I guessed my son was living. I left my contact details at the radio station so that those who knew about my son could call. In December, I got a call from a member of the army. I went along and could listen to a man's voice, but I wasn't allowed to talk to him. That day, I felt something so overpowering. I wanted to snatch the telephone. I wanted to tell him that I was his mother. And there was a key question that was going to define if he was my son or not. They told me to ask the secret question. When he answered, I told them, "It's him, there is no doubt." It was as if I had given birth to him once again. I felt immensely happy that day. I couldn't believe that it was actually happening, or at least that he accepted me. One of my biggest worries was that he would never accept me, that he would reject me. That was really hard for me.
But her only son didn't reject her. Carmen told me that she had asked the family that raised him never to deny who his parents were and why they had to leave him.
No fue posible.
It was not possible. You can't be in the field with children. They are the ones who suffer most.
Carmen and her son lived together for a while, but now the 28-year-old man, who I will call Pedro, has made his own life. It's 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's a little cold here in Bogotá. Carmen, her husband, and I are in our way to the capital's airport, El Dorado. In around 2 hours, her son will be arriving from a city in the northeast of the country where he's living and working. Yesterday, she was wearing jeans. Today, Carmen is very elegant. She's wearing a nice purple dress, black heels, and she's wearing makeup as well.
Yes, it's a special day because I'm going to meet my son after 3 months of separation. The company he works for transferred him to another city.
The son of Carmen has just arrived. He looks like her. He has dark eyes and dark hair as well. He's taller than her. He looks very happy and she looks really happy. She's smiling. She's very excited.
I let Carmen and her son have a private moment. They kissed and hugged each other. A few minutes later, I asked them how they felt.
Feliz.
Happy.
You are almost crying.
El emoción. It's the excitement. It reminds me the reunion with him.
The first time you saw him.
Sí, me recuerda la. Yes, it reminds me the first time I saw him 5 years ago.
The same feelings.
Sí, los mismos sentimientos. Yes, the same feeling. It's difficult to forget that moment.
Well, now let's go home. How do you feel now that you see your mom?
Bien, gracias a Dios.
Very well, thank God. I am happy of seeing my mom again.
You hug her very strongly.
Claro, porque obviamente.
Of course, it is the happiness after seeing my mom. I want to hug her because I cannot be with her all the time. I have to take advantage of these moments.
While she was cooking, I asked Pedro when he had learned that his mother was not his biological mother.
Hasta los 12 me terminaron recontando.
Not until I was 12 did they tell me the full story. Every year, on my birthday, my mother would start crying and would tell me by bits.
But one day, a relative of his heard a message that Carmen broadcast through a radio station and told him about it. He called the radio station, and after that, he had to answer many questions to confirm that he was indeed the person that Carmen was looking for. The meeting was set up in a hotel.
Solo nos abrazamos y lloramos un rato.
We just hugged and cried for a while. After that, we started to talk a bit and told each other how happy we were. She told me how happy she was for having found me and asked me to forgive her. I told her that there was nothing to forgive, that I was thankful for what they had done to me, and that I understood why they had done it.
I never imagined that I would go to Colombia to make this documentary while pregnant with my first child. I can well understand that Maria and Teresa will never give up their struggle to recover their children. They both told me that no matter how many children you have, no child replaces another child, especially the first one. But it's hard to be optimistic because it's almost impossible to know where the children of rebels are, how many there are, and who is looking after them. They can only search and hope.